the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another episode where we do a wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities, hopefully in an episode that we can hash out in an average of 10 minutes. Today is June the 14th, 2022, and the last 2 to 3 days, we had the price of Bitcoin absolutely plummet. It's just been a bloodbath out there. Good time to stack, but for those who were looking to sell, it's terrible times for them. And as a result, the Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities, they took a huge step back when the markets opened on Monday morning, yesterday morning. So there really isn't a heck of a lot of news to share. I'll share what I have in front of me. And one of them, it's no surprise, but it has to do with Coinbase. And so with that being said, let's just talk about our sponsors. And our first sponsor is ShakePay, and it's the best place to buy and never sell, but a lot of people are selling for some particular reason. I have no idea why. They're Bitcoin. And if you use our referral code below, buy $100 worth of Bitcoin or $100 worth of the altcoin that they have on their exchange, and you will be given $30 that will be added to your account after you make your first $100 purchase. Not too bad. Second thing they have, shaking your phone for Satoshis, which are partial Bitcoin. And if you open up your phone, use a referral code, and open up the app once a day. Shake that phone, and you'll be rewarded Satoshis. And if you do it 200 consecutive days, the amount of Satoshis that you'll be awarded is 1,000 Satoshis per day. So there's not too many faucets out there. This is one of the very few that are left that you could take advantage of. It makes sense to use ShakePay and shake that phone once a day to get some free Satoshis added to your account. And finally, they have the Visa card, a ShakePay Visa card. And use this for your everyday purchases, gas, groceries, whatever it is you want to buy. And you'll be rewarded 1% back in Bitcoin to your account. And there's a potential chance you could get the whole thing, the whole purchase, rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. So what are you waiting for? Get on the ShakePay train. We like it, we use it, and we recommend it for getting into Bitcoin. And what are you going to do with the Bitcoin you bought from ShakePay? Why not just park it on Ledin, and that's our second sponsor. And you could earn some interest on your Bitcoin, or if you have some USDC, you could park it on there as well. So it's a great place to earn interest on your Bitcoin and USDC. Use our referral code below, park 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC on their platform for 15 consecutive days, and 10 USDC will be awarded to you. They also have the ability to borrow against it. So if you have a lot of Bitcoin, you don't want to sell it because you obviously don't want to sell Bitcoin, doesn't make sense to do so, always hold on to it. Ledin is there to help you out. You could then borrow against your Bitcoin, 50% loan to value, and you're good to go to use that money to do whatever you want. Go on vacation, renovate your house, buy a car, fill it up, whatever works for you. They also have the B2X, so if you're feeling lucky and you think that Bitcoin price will be going up, you could double up your stack by using Ledin's B2X feature. And once you get to a point where you're happy with the price of Bitcoin, it's substantially gone up, pull out, always pull out, and you're good to go. And they also have the Bitcoin-backed mortgages, not available in all jurisdictions. So take a look at their website for where it is that they offer this. So there you go. And also ensure that you check their website for their interest rates and their borrowing rates, because they change on a monthly basis. So there you go. That's our second sponsor, Ledin. We like it, we endorse it, and we use it. All right, so with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing, and we'll take a peek to see who are the winners and losers for today. It's kind of slightly in favor of the losers than there are winners, but still it was a much better day than yesterday. iMining, 16.67% up on a day, and that's a company that doesn't just primarily do Bitcoin mining, they do a little bit other than that, so buyer beware for them. Core Scientific, the biggest Bitcoin miner out there, 5.94% up, and they're only right now priced at 214. they're taking a beating because they have about 100%, they're carrying about 100% worth of debt, which is the highest amount in comparison to all his competitors. Marathon is the second closest. I think they're carrying around 70% debt. The fact that the price of Bitcoin has taken a massive step back, it really impacts everything but Core Scientific more than anything, because all the Bitcoin they mine and all the Bitcoin they hold, it's been vastly devalued as a result. But still, I'm bullish long-term on Core Scientific. Riot, and we'll be talking about them a little bit later, 5.16 up on a day. Another buyer beware, BTBT. And yeah, they are what they are. I've spoken my part about them, 4.88% up on a day. And there's quite a few, Marathon, CoinSmart, Hive, and yeah, Sato, and we'll be talking about them later, 3.13% up on a day. So yeah, there you go. That's a fair number of winners, but there are some losers. And here we go, Moss and Infrastructure. I talk about this often enough that they're either at the top of the heap or the very, very bottom, and here they are at the bottom. They got down 18.57% in a day. Like, that's nuts. That's a pretty big step back. Stronghold Digital, that's one that just continually takes a kick to the teeth, 12.25% down on a day. Argo, 11.37% down. Aquarius AI, which has had a pretty good week in comparison to their peers. Unfortunately, today couldn't hold, 9.09% down on the day. HelloPal, they do a little bit of everything besides Bitcoin mining. They're down 8.57% on a day. And there you go. There's quite a bit of red, but not as bad as yesterday. And you see there's some green here. So we could take that for, I guess, a small win. And I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's just, it's a bad couple of days on the market, bad couple of weeks, bad few months. What can I say? It's a good time to DCA and into the market and buy more Satoshis and just stack sats. So leading things off, I've got a story from Riot Blockchain. This story, it's relatively small, but it's still going to have a small impact for the amount of Bitcoin that they mine for the month of June. And we got a tweet here from Chad Everett, and I hope to get Chad on our show one day. And he noted that their Rockdale facility had to scale back power 17.75 hours. This is between June 6th and June 12th. And this is to help support the grid and the people of Texas. And that equates to a little bit less than 3/4 of 1 day. And so this is going to impact how much Bitcoin they mine for the month of June. As I mentioned, albeit relatively small, but it's still something to consider, because this is something that is a continuing problem. Well, maybe not problem, challenge, we'll call it, in the state of Texas, where they have to sometimes divert the power to the grid and maybe not draw too much grid power for Bitcoin mining. It is what it is. It's not the end of the world, but this is something that is certainly noteworthy for mining Bitcoin in Texas. So Riot Blockchain, at the end of the month, they are going to report a slightly less amount of Bitcoin than if they were mining 100% for the whole month. And this is the reason why. So relatively small story, but still something noteworthy. And moving right along, I want to talk about Bitcoin Well. And this is it's a good story, I think, because they're growing their ecosystem. And they announced that they have released the beta launch of their Interact e-transfer Bitcoin purchase system. And I have to admit, I've never used a Bitcoin ATM in my life before, subsequently, I've never used one of the Bitcoin Well ATMs. I should be changing that in not too distant future. I'd like to check it out to see what it's all about. But nonetheless, by allowing the Interact e-transfers to purchase Bitcoin, it cast a bigger net to attract customers onto their ecosystem. And I took a look at their website here, and it shows you right here, it says the sign up for e-transfer today. It is noted in a tweet that it's in beta form or beta launch. I'm not exactly sure what this means. It's if it's just select customers, like the first few X amount of customers are able to get it, or if it's geographical location. I have no idea. I tried looking around, I couldn't find the answer. But nonetheless, it looks like it's not out there in totality. Maybe it's being done just to try to test things out and see if the systems work before they could launch it into 100% and say that it's ready to go. I'm not exactly sure, but either way, still it's pretty good story. They're going to be potentially getting more customers on their platform and into the Bitcoin Well ecosystem. So again, this is kind of noteworthy. It's not earth-shattering news, but still, you know, it's something decent if you're a Bitcoin Well investor. And let's talk about our favorite whipping boy, Coinbase. And some sad news came out of their camp. This was just yesterday, I think it was, but no, it was today, in fact. They announced that they're going to be scaling back their team by 18%. And this is on the heels of some news that came out last week, maybe the week before, that they were rescinding jobs that were offered to people. And that was kind of a not the greatest move. It left a black eye on the Coinbase image. And well, they're scaling back their workforce even more, or at least they're scaling back their workforce now by 18%. And in the past, I was talking about there was a new rollout program that rolled out with Coinbase that was going to internally, they're going to be judging their peers, their colleagues, and I suspected that might be one metric they could use to start letting their staff go. It may be the case. So maybe what I was thinking might turn out to be true in terms of how they're selecting who it is they're going to be leaving and who it is that's going to be staying on. They did point out, I just want to go to the website, this was the message that came out from Coinbase and how they came to this decision. Well, they're saying that right now we're coming to a point that there's going to be recession, and that this is after 10 years of economic boom. And they're saying that they survived four, I'm going to quote here, major crypto winters. And they believe that they have the ability to survive another, quote, crypto winter. And this is the one that's very interesting. We grew too quickly. And they're saying at the beginning of 2021, they had 1,250 employees. And this is an admission that they grew too much too fast. And they just didn't need all the staff. The products they're offering, there's a lot of garbage that they have on their platform. And I talk about Coinbase not in a favorable light, because what brought them to the dance was Bitcoin. And since they've had their IPO, even slightly before that, they've been diverting from that Bitcoin path. And they're now into the altcoin woods. And I'm being very, very kind with my wording here. If they want to find a way back to success, they should get rid of all the garbage they have on their platform. Betting on Coinbase is a bet on the altcoins. They are not directly tied to Bitcoin anymore. They used to have a very, very strong correlation with Bitcoin. Not anymore. And now their bread and butter, unfortunately, is the altcoin market. And it took a beating. And here we are. And, well, this is what happens. I don't want to say I want to dance in the grave of Coinbase, but guys, do your homework. This is not the way to do business. Stick to Bitcoin. This is what brought you to the dance, and this is what you should be doing. Go back to Bitcoin. Maybe you could bring back these 18% that you're letting go, but I don't know what's going to happen moving forward. Things are not looking good on a Coinbase front. So if I was an investor, I'd be worried. If I was thinking to invest in Coinbase, I would be very careful about deploying my capital in there. Just my two cents. And next up is WonderFi news, and they have partnered with Banxa to, this partnership will enable them to, as they claim here, to utilize local payment and banking options with less friction, fewer fees, and better fraud protection. And with looking at the news release, it gives them the ability to streamline process of payments. It gives them collaborating on flexible, local, and secure payment tools for users globally. They're going to be tying this in, from what I understand, with their Web3. And so how this is going to be tied into that platform, into that Web3 stuff, I'm not entirely sure. I've been upfront, I'm not bullish on Web3. And WonderFi seems to be going balls deep into this. So with that being said, this is news I have to report from WonderFi. If it's good or bad, it's a partnership with Banxa, which is a pretty big name. So that should have some clout there. But in terms of what they're trying to achieve, meh at best. And keep things moving. Let's talk about Canada Computational Unlimited. And that name is no more. Don't worry if you're an investor in them. They just simply changed their name. They're now known as Sato Technologies Corp, SATO, and that matches their ticker, which is also SATO. And they rebranded their new website, which is bysato.com. Really cool website when you check it out. The graphics they have when you scroll down, it's pretty neat. I would suggest take a look at it to see what I'm talking about if you're listening to this, but this is how it looks on the if you're watching on YouTube. So really cool. This isn't really earth-shattering. This isn't going to make the company way more profitable or way less profitable or anything along those lines. This is really just an administrative change. But I like the fact that they changed the name. I wasn't too fond of Canada Computational Unlimited. That name was kind of a mouthful. And Sato Technologies, I like that. It's very simple. It's paying homage to Satoshi Nakamoto. And their ticker is also SATO. So really neat. So if you're an investor in formerly known as Canada Computational Unlimited and wondering why you don't have that on your list of stocks, and you see it instead of the name is Sato Technologies, well, this is the reason why. They changed their name, and nothing has really changed in the grand scheme of things. They're just changing their name, so it's just strictly an administrative change. Nothing too big, but still something noteworthy, in my opinion. And let's keep things moving along and talk about DigiHost. I haven't talked about them too much lately, but they announced they have acquired a site in Alabama which has potential to get up to 55 megawatts in terms of power capacity, which is not too bad. And they also paid off a $10 million loan. So first off, in terms of this new facility that they got in Alabama, the terms of purchase are 2.75 initial is the total purchase price, and initially they're going to be paying $1.5 million, and this is going to be due on June 17th, so in the next few days. And the remaining $1.25 million will be paid in 25 equal monthly installments of $50,000 per month. That's actually pretty cool, because over time that $50,000 will be worth less and less thanks to debasement of the Canadian and US dollar. So I like that in terms that this is being done over a 2-year and 1-month period of time, because the last month, at the 25th month, that $50,000 is going to be worth a heck of a lot less than it is worth as of today. So I like those terms of conditions being arranged by DigiHost. And this gives them a new facility of 160,000 square feet. So right now they're going to have access to 28 megawatts, with eventually they could get total capacity of 55 megawatts. Very good. This gives them an opportunity to scale up their operations, plug in more Bitcoin miners into their network, and hash away more. But they also mentioned in this news release that they have closed off a loan that was done with $10 million, and it was fully repaid. And I'm not exactly sure how they repaid this. Did they simply just sell off stock? Did they sell off their Bitcoin? We'd have to do some more investigating as to this. But in terms of this outstanding loan, it's been paid off. And then now they announced they currently have no long-term debt. So that's bullish. But how they achieve this is something that needs to be addressed moving forward. So yeah, all in all, it's not too bad. This is kind of just a brief snapshot. But the big thing that we have to look at in this one is they got access to this new facility in Alabama. And yeah, I like it. I like the fact that they're expanding their operations. And the states, Alabama, particularly the South, they tend to get cheaper energy. I hope that the heat, Alabama tends to get rather warm in the summertime. I hope the heat doesn't cause any concerns or problems with their Bitcoin miners. And I hope that there's not, similar to Texas, where they have to redirect energy to the grid in order to ensure that the grid has full operation during peak conditions. It gets hot in Alabama during the summertime. Air conditioners draw a lot of electricity. Just trying to connect the dots here. I'm hopeful that they'll be able to draw 100% of the power up to 55 megawatts through the full 12 months of the year going forward. But this is something that remains to be seen, and we'll just have to see it as it plays out in front of us. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed this episode, this recap for the past couple of days. We're still reeling from the price of Bitcoin dropping considerably and the markets tanking as a result. Nonetheless, here we are. We're still diligent in the cause, and we know that we're going to be winning in the end, so we'll keep stacking away. And that Coinbase news, it was kind of a punch to the gut, but still, luckily, you know, I'm not a Coinbase investor. There are some out there, and I feel for you, because these are bags that are getting heavier by the day. But nonetheless, before I sign off, just want to make sure that you are aware that I am not a financial advisor, so nothing I say is financial advice. Joey's not a financial advisor either, so the same applies to him, and same with all the guests that come on our show. So make sure you do your own research, your own due diligence. It only makes sense. And with that, and we'll talk tomorrow. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another episode where we do a wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is June the 16th, a very sunny and warm June the 16th. And we're going to try to get this episode out in 10 minutes. That's the average we're trying to achieve. Well, let's see if we'll actually get there. And before we move on, just want to ask if you could please like the video and subscribe to the channel. It would greatly help us out. And let's just get moving on to our sponsors. And our first sponsor is ShakePay, the best place to buy and never sell your Bitcoin. And if you use our referral code below, buy $100 worth of Bitcoin or whatever else they have on their exchange, you'll be gifted $30 that'll be added to your account. So not too shabby. The second thing they're offering is if you sign up using our referral code, you get the ability to shake your phone, do it once a day, and you'll be gifted free partial Bitcoin known as Satoshis. And also, if you run a streak of 200 consecutive days, the number of Bitcoin increases to 1,000 Satoshis a day. So it's a really nice little faucet. Not many of these exist. So it pays to open up your ShakePay app on your phone and shake the phone to get some free Satoshis once a day. And the last thing they offer is the ShakePay Visa card, where you could use that to buy your everyday purchases or even whatever it is you're buying. And you get 1% return back to you in Bitcoin. And there's a potential that the whole purchase will be returned back to you in Bitcoin and added to your ShakePay account. So we use ShakePay, we like it, and it's a great place to onboard into Bitcoin. And our next sponsor is Ledin. And if you use our referral code below and dump 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC, 10 USDC will be gifted to you as long as you hold that amount on their platform for 15 consecutive days. As well, if you have a large stack of Bitcoin and you don't want to sell it, Ledin's there to back you up so you can borrow against it. 50% loan to value, so you can use that money to buy whatever you want. You know, fill up your car with gas, buy groceries, whatever it is. They have the ability to give you the B2X. So if you're feeling lucky, you have the B2X option on Ledin, so you could double up your Bitcoin stack. And if you think the price of Bitcoin is going to have a big run up, it's there to help you out. So you could use B2X to increase your allocation without really selling any of your Bitcoin. So it's a good way to just double up and increase the amount of Bitcoin you have if you believe the price of Bitcoin is moving up. And the last thing they have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages, the first in the world from what I understand. So check your jurisdiction because it may not be available to you, and I think there's a waiting list right now. So also check their website for the interest rates and savings rates. So it's a good idea because they change it once a month. And with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. And we will take a peek to see who are the winners and losers today. A lot more losers than there are winners. The markets were not kind to Bitcoin miners and related equities, but leading the pack, we have CryptoStar, which is shining star today at 33.33% up. WonderFi, 12.94% up, and that's probably due to the news from yesterday, which we'll be talking about momentarily. Luxfolio, who recently sold off 15% of their stake to Big Digital Assets, up 8.33% of the day. And Blue Sky Digital Assets, 6.67% up. Mawson, 2.96 up. And CleanSpark, we'll be talking about them in a little bit, 0.91% up on the day. And that's it for the big winners. On the losing side, we got a lot of big losers here, including Global Care, and its ticker HLTH, 33.33% down. Aquarius AI, another one, 14.29% down. That's pretty rough. Sato, who recently changed her name, 13.04% down. Neptune Digital, down 12.2%. And they mine not just Bitcoin, but a lot of other things. Voyager Digital, 12% down. Cypher Mining, 11.18% down. CoinSmart down a little over 10%. DigiHost, ditto. Man, oh man. Let's take a look at the whipping boys. Stronghold Digital down 9.34% and Coinbase down 7.2% in a day. Not surprised to see those two on the losing side, given what has transpired in the last few months with those two stocks. But there we go. Hopefully this is the end of it, but we'll see what happens. Every day, another losing day. It is a bear market. It's not a bull market. It is definitely a bear market. When bull market? I don't know, but it's definitely not here right now. All right, so the first story I have is about WonderFi, and I briefly touched upon it earlier today, given that WonderFi's got it had a big day today. So what it, and even yesterday. So really what is driving this for the past couple of trading days is they were given conditional approval to list on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Right now they're on a NEO. And with this, it's going to give them more ability to get or greater liquidity, and it could give them an ability to reach out, as they say, to domestic and international investors, more of them. This is really good news for them, and their stock price had a big jump as a result. And they're going to get one common share listing on a TSX and two series of warrants. Really cool stuff. From what I understand, their stock ticker will remain, the symbol will remain the same when it's listed on a TSX, and on OTC markets in the United States we'll have the ticker WONDF. I'm not sure if that's new, but that's going to be what's going to be transpiring in the next little while. So this is conditional approval, and they're waiting for final requirements before they could be listed on the TSX. Really cool stuff, and it will be delisted from NEO. So really cool stuff from WonderFi. This is making them part of the big boys. It's too sad to see that they're no longer part of the NEO. That's what helped them get to the point where they are. But I guess that they have outgrown that exchange, and they need new liquidity or new potential liquidity that comes along with being listed on the TSX. Is there going to be a potential listing on the NASDAQ in a distant future? I don't know, but they don't meet the price requirement right now. They'd have to do a reverse split similar to what DigiHost did. And did anybody else do that to get listed on the NASDAQ? I'm not sure, but certainly DigiHost did. So they would, if WonderFi intends to get on the NASDAQ, which I assume that's their long-term goal, like why would it not be? They'd have to do a reverse split just to meet the minimum requirement, the minimum price requirement. So yeah, so good stuff from WonderFi. I'm not the biggest fan of them, considering that they're in the metaverse and Web3 and all that jazz. But I know a lot of people are bullish on them, and they want to see them do well, and they're investors of WonderFi. So this is certainly information that is pertinent to them, or if also for people that are thinking about getting into WonderFi, because, well, now they're going to have more ability to raise capital when they're on the big boy exchange, the TSX. So cool stuff from them, and let's see what transpires moving forward. And let's keep things moving along and talk about a company that I like quite a bit, which is Mawson Infrastructure. And they reported on their May 2022 update, and they mined 185 Bitcoin for the month of May, which is not bad, but that is going up. They now have about 40,000 ASIC mining equipment doing their thing, hashing away and earning them Bitcoin. Currently, their hash rate as of the end of May is 3.1 exahash per second. Not too bad, and expects to rise by the end of June to 3.35 exahash per second. Again, not too bad. So as you can see, they are continually to deploy more and more miners on their network to increase their productivity, which is what you want to see from a Bitcoin miner. And they're expecting to be producing by the end of June approximately 8.5 Bitcoin per day. Again, not too shabby. And there's going to be, they're talking about a lot of their expansion coming online in the next little while. But the key thing here is they plan to be at 4 exahash per second by Q3 2022. And that's just 3 months away, 3 months and a couple of weeks away. And they're targeting 5.5 exahash per second online by early Q1 2023. Incredible stuff here from Mawson Infrastructure. I hope to get somebody from their company to come on our show to talk about them, because this is a company that has aspirations to move on up, and they are doing everything possible to do it. As you can see, they're deploying miners, and they have a roadmap out here that's going to put them in a situation that they'll be on the one of the bigger miners out there, which is really cool stuff. I like Mawson Infrastructure. I like what they're doing, and I hope they're always on the top of the charts or the bottom of the charts when it comes to the daily gains or losses. I don't want to see them on the bottom. Is there something being done? Are they being played? Is there manipulation here? I don't know. Because this news is not bad, and today they had a down day. Why? Why is that? I do not know, but I have faith in them turning this thing around in terms of the stock price, in terms of what they're doing with their company itself. no questions without. They're doing a great job. And if as long as they continue on course, the stock price should work itself out. At least that's my hope. And the final story I have today is a good one, another good one about CleanSpark. I like this company, I like what they're doing, and they did the right thing. So right now, the price of Bitcoin and the markets itself as a whole, it's depressed. And CleanSpark is taking advantage of this as they were able to procure some ASIC miners at a phenomenal rate. There's the prices of these ASIC mining rigs are going down and they're on sale. And they ended up taking over an existing purchase contract of 1,800 Antminer S19 XP units. And this is going to add about 2.52 petahash per second to the existing mining capacity. 2.52 petahash per second is not an insignificant amount. And they also announced a partnership with TMG Core. And this is a company that does immersion cooling, which is really cool. And what they're going to be doing is obviously immersion cooling. And this new partnership includes 257 units of TMG's proprietary immersion cooling tanks. And each one of these units can fit 28 Antminer S19 J Pro mining machines. I'm a big fan of immersion cooling. I talk about it every time we have a Bitcoin mining company on our show, because I know there is a lot of work to it and a lot of work to maintain it, but it certainly you're wringing out every last terahash from each of these pieces of equipment, because you could overclock them in the solutions here. And in fact, the immersion solution uses up to 77% less water. This is the TMG Core immersion cooling solutions, and they're saying it's up to 4,000 times more efficient than traditional air cooling. I buy it. I mean, I've ridden air-cooled motorcycles and liquid-cooled motorcycles. I can feel the difference between the two of them. Liquid-cooled makes things run much cooler than air-cooled does. So it's much more efficient at taking away the heat and dispersing it into the atmosphere. So I like this is a really cool thing by CleanSpark. They must have had some capital sitting aside, waiting to pounce at the right opportunity. They found it here. They bought a whole bunch of S19s on the cheap. It's going to be coming in the next little while. It's going to increase their hash rate by 250 petahash per second, or around 0.25 exahash per second. Not insignificant. This is a good move by CleanSpark. Kudos to them. I'd love to get somebody on their company to come on our show. But in the meantime, I'll continually sing their praises. So good stuff for CleanSpark. And that's it. There's not much else to discuss. It's been a relatively quiet day. So with that being said, I just have one last thing to make mention, is that I am not a financial advisor. Joey's not a financial advisor. None of the guests are financial advisors. So we don't talk about financial advice on this show. So make sure you do your own research, your own due diligence. It only makes sense. And with that, we'll be talking again tomorrow. Take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another episode where we do a wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is June the 16th, 2022. Happy Friday to everybody. Hope everybody has a good weekend coming up. And this is going to be, I think it's going to be a relatively short episode in comparison to my other ones. But with that being said, just want to ask if you could please like and subscribe. So you like the video, subscribe to the channel, and also share the video. Like, help us get us as many eyeballs on our stuff as possible. So with that, let's go on to our sponsors. And the first sponsor is, where is it? There it is, ShakePay. And that's the best place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin. And if you use our referral code below and buy $100 worth of Bitcoin or the competing thing that they have on there, which I'm not going to name, you're going to get $30 added to your account, so not too shabby. The second thing you get by using our referral code, you could open up the ShakePay app once a day and shake your phone, and you'll be rewarded with partial Bitcoin known as Satoshis, run up a string of 200 consecutive days, and that turns into 1,000 sats per shake per day. So it's a really good way to get a little bit of Bitcoin every day. There's not many faucets out there like that. So take advantage of it and use our referral code to sign up. And the third thing is you get to use the ShakePay Visa card, where you could use that for your everyday or even relatively large purchases and get 1% return back to you in Bitcoin. That is not too shabby. That's a good way to increase your Bitcoin stack just by simply using the ShakePay Visa card and buying stuff along with it. and you could potentially get the whole thing returned back to you in Bitcoin with the Shake Pay promotion. So if you're going to spend, say, $100 on something, potentially $100 could be returned back to you in Bitcoin if you get Shake Paid. So give it a shot. We like it, and we recommend you use Shake Pay to onboard when buying Bitcoin. What are you going to do with that Bitcoin that you bought from ShakePay? Well, use our referral code below, sign up to Ledin, and put your Bitcoin or USDC on the Ledin platform. Start earning some interest. As well, you could borrow against your large Bitcoin stack if you have a large Bitcoin stack that you want to borrow against. And there's a 50% loan to value. You could use that money to do whatever you want. Repair your car, fill up with gas, buy groceries, whatever the heck it is you want to do. You have so many options. You can borrow against it. 50% loan to value for borrowing against your Bitcoin. And if you're feeling lucky, if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, we're kind of low in the price right now. So how much lower can it go? Maybe it's a good time to do B2X. Well, simply use Ledin's B2X feature. You double up your Bitcoin stack, and once the price goes up sufficiently, pull out, always pull out, and you're golden. And your Bitcoin stack has grown even larger thanks to Bitcoin's B2X option. The last thing they have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages, the first of its kind through the history, through the industry, from what I understand. So check it out. It's not available in all jurisdictions, but also check out Ledin's website for interest rates and for the savings rates as they change on a monthly basis. And yeah, we recommend Ledin. Both Joey and I use it. And with the formalities out of the way, let's just get hashing. And I have some good news to report that today we have more winners than there are losers. So let's take that in stride, because we haven't been able to say that too much in the past little while. And so leading the pack, we got a couple of ciphers. Cypher Mining, 27.27 up on the day, and Cypher Metaverse, 25% up on the day. WonderFi still with the pump, 18.75% up. Aquarius AI turning it around from yesterday's disaster, 16.67% down. iMining, whatever, 16.67% down. Oh, up, sorry, up on a day. BTBT, I've talked about them at length. I have real concerns with them about being able to employ all their miners coming from China. 16.39% up on a day. Neptune Digital, 11% up on a day. So there's a number of companies that had wonderful days. But on the flip side, Mawson, I talk about this frequently. They're at the bottom today. No news. 17.24% down. Is there something happening here to cause their company to go down? We had some good news reported from Mawson this week. Why is it going down? Something being manipulated here? I'm not saying that the people on Mawson's team are manipulating anything. I'm talking about the greater community as a whole, the people that are actually investing in it. Something is going on with this. I don't know what. It shouldn't be going down like this, and I want to turn around because I like this company. Cathedra Bitcoin, another company I really like, 16.67% down. That's a lot. That's a heck of a lot. It's gone down. Sphere 3D, 8.3% down. Argo, another 8% down today. DMG, another company we like, 8% down. Luxfolio, ditto, we like them, 7% down. And wow. So, I mean, there are some losses on the day, but more so winners, and a lot of double-digit winners too at that. So I'm going to take that. That's a good sign. That's a positive. I like it. We don't have too many of these. So especially on a Friday, oh, it's a nice warm Friday at that. And also I'm going to be on Why Are We Bullish Tonight. I'm going to mention that later in the show. But yeah, so that's Friday. We're up a little bit. Let's go. Let's go. Let's LFG. LFG. All right. So leading things off is a story from Hive. And this is a tweet that they've released. There's many shareholders at Consensus, and they're saying there's lots of questions to do with the ETH merge. And this is merging the two chains, which ultimately will bring a change from proof of work to a proof of stake system. Of course, this will impact all ETH miners, including Hive. Hive does a pretty decent amount of their mining through mining of ETH. But they said in their tweet, because there's limited competition with ETH mining, it's given them a cash flow to dramatically ramp up their Bitcoin mining, which now makes up a substantially majority of their revenue. They note later on that if the Ethereum proof of stake is successfully deployed, they expect it to be substantially at a later date, and it's very, very complex with a lot of moving parts. And that's to do with the ETH transitioning to ETH 2.0, the proof of stake, and all that stuff. And like I mentioned, that's going to negatively impact Hive. But Hive did mention earlier on. This was a release some time ago, actually last year. They were talking about how they're going to be pivoting towards a long-term high-performance computing strategy, and that's where they're going to be diverting most, if not all, of their GPU miners should ETH transition to a proof of stake in the future. So it looks like that Hive has plans moving forward just in case ETH does move to a proof of stake system, which I don't know. I'm teetering sometimes. It looks like it is, and other times it looks like it's not. I'm now going to decide maybe it's not going to be, but I'm so far removed from the whole process and I don't follow it that closely. My thinking just could be off the wrong track, so just don't take what I'm thinking as with the ETH merge as gospel. But with respect to ETH 2.0 and how it's going to impact miners like Hive, it's good for Hive that they're looking longer term just in case there is a change with ETH and how they're going to be mining the ETH token. So I like that they have vision moving on beyond the the proof of work mining of ETH, and they're looking forward to see what will happen if there's a proof of stake with ETH. I'm not bullish on that. It is what it is. At least for the time being, they could take advantage of the ETH mining. Good for them. If this is something that's profitable for them, great for them. I have no issues with it. And just one thing to note, when you look at when they're reporting numbers, it's always the BTC equivalent or the hash rate equivalent. It's kind of convoluted in how they're reporting everything. So they do mine a great deal of Bitcoin equivalent, but keep in mind that some of it is ETH that they're mining. So if that's converted directly at par to, or as of today, to BTC. But over time, I mean, the prices of the two could change drastically over time. We've seen the price of ETH taken a step back more so in comparison to the price of BTC. So I'm hoping that Hive has already transitioned or moved a lot of their ETH holdings into BTC, but this I'm not exactly sure. But that's something to consider. In fact, we'll be talking to somebody from ETH. Sorry, somebody from, not ETH, never from ETH. We'll be talking to somebody from Hive next month. I don't want to say who, but we have somebody coming from Hive to talk about their operations, and it's going to be awesome to get some background on that. But that's all I got to say about the Hive situation right now. Okay, so moving on, let's talk about a company that is yet to be publicly listed, but intends to do so. So this is going to be a great snapshot into what is going on with this company, and I'm talking about Gryphon Digital Mining. And they just tweeted that they posted 132 Bitcoin per exahash for the month of May. That's an odd metric to use. Nonetheless, that is what they're providing us. But they did give a little bit more insight into their company prior to it potentially being listed. So if we do intend to buy Gryphon Digital Mining, well, this is what you're going to be getting, at least as of today, so which is not too bad. For the month of May, they said they mined 61 Bitcoin equivalent coins. So that leads me to believe that they're mining not strictly Bitcoin, but also other things, and they're converting those other things into Bitcoin as of today, at least the price as of today or the end of May. And it turns out that they mined 61 of them. So it is what it is. And they, of course, mentioned 132 Bitcoin per exahash, which is an odd metric, but their average hashing power right now is 468 petahash per second by the end of May. And if you think that they're going to be sitting over there, well, that's not going to be true, because they mentioned here that they plan to ramp up to 2.1 exahash by the end of the year. That is not too bad. They're going to be positioning themselves to be in the middle of the pack when it's all said and done, if indeed they get listed and they become publicly traded. And they also announced that they raised $28 million of non-diluted low cash debt. And this is what you want to see with a company. You don't want to see them diluting their company in order to raise money. If they're getting the ability to get low cost debt, there's still cheap interest rates right now. So it gives companies opportunity to borrow on a cheap and build out their companies and without diluting or borrow against equipment or whatever. Maybe in this case they borrow against equipment, but at least it was done in a manner that it was relatively cheap, and that's what you want to see. Take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to us. Go ahead, take that money, expand your network. So Gryphon Digital Mining, it's not yet publicly traded, has ambitions to do so, and when they do, by the end of this year, they're going to be middle of the pack in terms of comparison to their peers, and that's not too bad for a quote new Bitcoin miner. So cool stuff from Griffin, and it's another company that's going to be securing the Bitcoin network. I love it. And last but not least is a story from Bitfarms. It's really more of a sign of the times, and this is the nature of how Bitfarms and other Bitcoin miners are probably going to be doing business moving forward. And well, there was a tweet that talked about it, but over here, as it's just in more detail, and they announced funding of $37 million with NYDIG, and this comes at 12% per annum collateralized, and this is by miners of the company's ledger and bunker facility. So they're borrowing against their equipment 12% per annum, which is, it's rather steep, but that's really the going rate. NYDIG was offering around 9%, if I recall correctly, a little while ago when rates were a little bit cheaper. I think it was Cathedra Bitcoin was able to secure a few agreements with NYDIG to borrow against their equipment. And I think that the rates in comparison to this one is much more favorable. So this is 12%, and Cathedra was getting around 9% at the time, if I recall correctly. But the environment has changed a little bit since then. Not only that, the second thing that Bitfarms has announced is they sold off 1,500 of their BTC holdings, and this is reducing their $100 million Bitcoin-backed credit facility with Galaxy Digital, and this is going to reduce it by $34 million to $66 million. And ultimately, this is going to decrease the amount of interest that they're going to be paying moving forward, and this is going to help them out going forward with funding and their balance sheet. But the one that really hurts is they sold off 1,500 Bitcoin at a time when the price of Bitcoin is rather low. But again, sign of the times, these guys got to do what they have to do, and there's not many options available to them. The 12% per annum, hopefully the price of Bitcoin moves up more than 12% so that they could offset the added interest rates that they're getting from that. But it is what it is, and this is just the way Bitcoin miners have to do business. And I'm, as a Bitfarms owner, I'm actually happy they're not diluting their company. That's really the easiest way to get more equity, is just simply dilute it and just sell more shares. And it's just, that's not a favorable thing for existing investors. So I'm happy that they haven't done this. But yeah, this is a sign of the times. We're probably going to hear more stories like this moving forward, especially those that have borrowed against their Bitcoin. Bitfarms has done that. And Bitfarms, they're mining around it's more than 400 plus Bitcoin per month. So the 1,500 Bitcoin that they sold, they'll be able to recoup that in less than 4 months should they not sell any of the Bitcoin they move forward. And the hash rate doesn't jump up tremendously, because if it does, it's going to impact Bitfarms' ability to mine Bitcoin. But yeah, that's basically it from Bitfarms. It's rather interesting, but just more of a sign of the times. Hopefully things change and the price of Bitcoin rips, and these Bitcoin miners reap the rewards of that, and they'll be able to get capital much, much easier. But right now, it's a challenge, and Bitfarms is proving that with this latest news that came out from them. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Have a wonderful weekend. One thing that I have to say before I get to the sign-off part is I'm going to be on BTC Sessions, Why Are We Bullish Tonight? So check it out. I'll be there ranting away as always. But last thing is, make sure you understand that nothing I talk about is financial advice. Nothing Joey talks about is financial advice. Nothing any of the guests that come on our show is considered financial advice. Do your own research. Do your own due diligence. That's the only way. And with that, have a wonderful weekend.